The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more, so that we may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
We come to the rich and resplendent book of Hebrews. There has never, ever been a more eloquent book in all of world literature. I never shall forget a few years ago in Adelaide, Australia, talking to the head of the speech department of the University of Adelaide, a man from Scotland, a brilliant man with clear blue eyes. I never will forget him. We talked for about 2 hours, and he said he didn't believe in God and he didn't believe in the Bible. And I said, "Do you mean in your speech and drama courses you never asked your students to read the Bible?" And a light came up and glistened in his eyes, and he said, "Oh, no, preacher, you have it wrong." He said, "I demand they read the book of Psalms in the Old Testament and the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. They are the most eloquent pieces of literature I've ever read." Now, if an unbeliever, an infidel, could say that about the book of Hebrews, surely Christians ought to read it more. It is just that great. There would be no way to extol its virtues and praise its contents too highly. There are three major teachings in the 13th chapter book of Hebrews. Chapters 1 through 7 tell us of the supremacy of Christ. Christ is superior. The key word in Hebrews is the word better. The better things of the new covenant. And then in chapters 8 through 10 he tells us that the old law had fulfilled its purpose. And in chapters 11, 12, and 13 he closes out by telling us of the need for practical faithfulness, constant fidelity as children of God. Let's capture the background and setting. Written to Hebrew Christians who are on the verge of leaving Christ and going back to Judaism, he warns them that first of all they would be leaving a superior system to go to an inferior one. Then he tells them that the old law had been abrogated anyway. There was nothing to go back to. And finally he spanks them a little and says, "Why don't you just be faithful and zealous and fruit bearing for the Lord and go on down the road with him and quit turning back because of persecution?" He said, "Don't you forsake the assembling of yourselves together, for he has said he'll never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Now let's go back and pick up the outline. It's a very vibrant one. In chapter 1, he tells us in Hebrews that Christ is superior to angels. These Hebrew Christians evidently had a superstitious attitude about angels. There was even a teaching prevalent in the first century that you had to work your way up to God through a succession, an elevation, step by step, of angelic hosts, and even had names and labels for each succeeding step that drew you nearer to God because of angels. In the first chapter, he says, Christ is superior to angels. God never said to any angel, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And he said, when this earth rolls up like an old vesture and is cast aside, you wish you'd be tied on to Jesus, for he'll endure forever. And so in chapter 2, he says, Christ is superior as the captain of our salvation, and we must not neglect so great salvation. If we do, we have no reward. We must not slip away from these things. We must keep our moorings in the Lord. He is superior to angels. He is the captain of our salvation who blazed the trail before us. One translation says he is the pioneer of our salvation, made perfect through sufferings. And because of his death, his sinless life and powerful death, he destroyed the power of the devil over death. And in that he has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them who are tempted. Hold on to Christ. Don't go back to Judaism. In chapter 3, he says, brethren, Christ is superior to Moses. Moses was a servant in God's house, but Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we? And except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. Every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And if you follow Moses, remember he died short of the promised land. But if you follow Christ, you can go on into the Holy of Holies, heaven itself. Christ is superior to angels. He's superior as the captain of our salvation. He is superior to Moses. And fourth, he is superior to Joshua. Joshua, one of the unsung heroes of the Bible, picked up the work of Moses, who died short of the promised land, led the people into the conquest of Canaan for 50 glorious, power-packed years. And yet all he could give men was a physical, earthly, temporal land of promise. If you follow Christ, there yet remains a rest for the people of God, Hebrews 4:9, and that rest is heaven itself. And the powerful, piercing word of God, the perfect high priest, the privilege of prayer, and the all-seeing eye of God should motivate you to go on to the promised land of heaven itself, where Christ, superior to Joshua, leads you into the conquest of glory. In chapter 5 of Hebrews, he tells us that Christ is superior to Aaron and the Levitical priesthood system. Those priests had to be replaced because of infirmity, because they died. But there's only one high priest in Christianity, and that's Christ Jesus, who is alive forevermore. Revelation 1, verses 17 through 19. So Christ is superior to Aaron and the Levitical priesthood system. This is a better way, a superior way, the supreme way. And then in chapter 6, and this is a lovely chapter, he tells us that God keeps his promises. He cannot lie. And he promised us access to heaven through Abraham's seed, even Christ. And Christ is our forerunner to heaven. John the Baptizer was the forerunner of Jesus. He blazed the trail, paved the way for Christ. Christ is the pioneer of our salvation, who paved the way into heaven itself, into the Holy of Holies. You remember when he died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, Matthew 27? Access into the Holy of Holies was made possible. Up until that time, on the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16, the high day of the Jewish economy, the Levitical high priest would enter the Holy of Holies once a year, and he had to offer for his own sins, for he was a man of infirmity and weakness, as well as the sins of the people. But now Christ Jesus, the one and only, irreplaceable high priest of the new covenant, entered into the Holy of Holies and has paved the way for us to have ready access to heaven itself. This gives us hope as an anchor of the soul, of entering in through the veil of his flesh into a new and living way into heaven itself.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.